started over an hour ago, Cutler. Get with the times. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. This junkie on the text line, does this win change your perspective on Kaylee at all, Joe?
Absolutely not. I can't do it. I will not change.
No, it hasn't changed my perception. I don't think he's totally incompetent. I think he's probably incompetent.
Okay.
I mean, that was a good game plan yesterday. Like, he's capable of doing it. It shows me that he's capable of doing it.
I will agree to that. He's maybe not the worst OC in the NFL.
Yeah. Like, are you firing him today? If you had to make the decision right now, is Nick Kaylee fired or is he coming back next year?
Next year?
Like, the season's over today. Like, let's just assume that today's the season's over.
He's still gone.
You finish, you know, whatever. The record is the record. You're not a playoff team. Like, you know, let's just fast forward. This is the end of the year, but it's our current perception. Very, very hypothetically. Would you fire him?
Yes. I would still today.
All right. I think I'm probably on your side. I'm a little closer to the not firing him than I was before the game. Like, I guess it did change my perception a little bit. I think he's capable now. I think there's hope now. Last week, I thought he was incompetent with no hope, and I was ready for Mike McDaniel. So I guess it did. I guess it did.
I'll be honest. I'm surprised.
Now, he needs to stack stuff together. Like, I mean, we just played the hypothetical game. The other part of this is that it's not a hypothetical game, and we still have 10 more games to work with. Mm-hmm. I still have 10 more games to draw my conclusion. Now, let's see what it looks like against good defenses, and he's going to have a chance against good defenses.
I mean, he could win me over next week. If they do something like this next week versus the Broncos, even though the Broncos, you know, like they were, you know, they had to have a miracle to beat the Giants, and but they shut down the Cowboys, they've shut down the Eagles. They've done a really good job this year on defense. I mean, I think they're number two or three in points allowed this season. So if they have a big game next week, yeah, he can swing me to the other side. But I gotta just wait till maybe next Monday.
Yeah, I mean, there's still 10 games for us to jump to draw our conclusion. But just playing the fun hypothetical game. Everybody loves doing that. We'll get to the drama going on between D'Amico and the Houston Texan media in a little bit. But let's go out to the HRMP listener line first. Wayne, you're on with Jeremy and Joe. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, what's up, guys? My thing is, like, I am still not a believer in Kaylee. But a simple fact, they didn't have Fred Warner or Bosa. So you got two game records right there, you know. So our line, they did what they did because they didn't have to go against Bosa or Fred Warner. My thing is, why is Dore Ogunbowale still seeing the field? And why come Woody Moss is not starting, man? Like, this is some stuff, because every time Woody Moss get in there, it be electric plays. All you can do is use Chubb. It's like the short yard, it's like 32. He's a club hammer. So I sit back and listen, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne, I want more Woody Marks. And I like having the two running back system right now. I think it's fine. I think Nick Chubb, like, even though the yards per carry doesn't necessarily reflect it, I thought he looked good in this game. But I want more Woody. I want a lot more Woody Marks. What are you, 12?
Does Dana know about that?
What are you, 5?
Yeah, right. I'm the immature one of the group. That's totally me.
You're the only one giggling right now.
You knew what you were doing. You got a chuckle out of me. Congratulations, Joe. I think that's the first chuckle you've ever gotten out of me.
That's not true.
713-780-3776. Yeah, I mean, Dari's got a role. He's not really taking carries away from anybody. You know what I mean? Like, he's there third down to block a little bit. He might catch a pass, you know, if he runs a route. He had one carry yesterday, and he got targeted once.
I think his role yesterday I'm good with. Like, the week before, I mean, I was saying I don't want to see him on the field pretty much at all, but if this is what his role is going to be, to occasionally be out there, that's fine.
See, my thing is more I rather flip-flop Chubb and Mark's touches. Like, yes. Chubb had 17 carries. He caught two passes, 19 touches, do math quickly. Woody was 11 carries, 4 catches. That's 15 for all you slowpokes. Like, flip that. Like, give me Woody 20 touches, Nick Chubb 15 or less. Give me Woody 18 touches, Chubb 12. Like, and I think that we're going to get there at some point. I think that they're a little bit. And look, Woody Marks ran the wrong way on a play last week. So, like, I think that probably is a factor in this whole thing, too, is that they probably trust Chubb a little bit more than Marks, and then I bet you they trust Dari to be at the right spot in certain pass protections more than Marks, and I think that plays a role.
It does, but it's hard to ignore, you know, like that was a screen pass or like a little dump-off pass to Woody Marks that he took pretty deep down the field. It just looks different when he has the ball in his hands. And that's why we all want to see more. Yeah.
That was also a busted play.
Yeah, but he just moved.
That guy totally lost him in coverage.
I know, but he just moves, man.
What does Nick Chubb do on that play, though?
Similar.
Yeah.
But I just think it looks better with Marks.
Look, I like Woody Marks, so it sounds like I'm being a curmudgeon, which if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck.
You're only asking them to flip it. I'm in the same boat. Flip it and give a little more to Woody Marks. I'm not asking for Chubb to not – or I don't think anyone's asking for Chubb to not be on the field, but more Woody Marks is better, I think, for this offense. He just looks different when he has the ball in his hands, whether it's an open space or even when he gets the ball coming out of the backfield. It's just he has a different level of juice than Nick Chubb has.
Yeah. Well, all UH Cougs talk, we should go top 25 in football, top 5 in men's basketball. We're going to do it. A little bit later. I'm fired up about my Houston Cougars.
I know. I'm waiting for the
number
big contract.
Number 22 in the country, baby. Number 22. For me?
For Willie.
Yeah.
He's about to get paid.
Junkie on the text line, no matter their record, if the Texans miss the playoffs and can land McDaniels an OC, you have to fire Kaylee Wright. Who would you rather be your OC next year, McDaniel or Kaylee?
McDaniel.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
Are you changing? Okay.
No, I'm not changing. Although, are we certain he's going to get fired in Miami after they went into the ATL yesterday and dominated?
I mean, look, maybe Pink Eye Tua is a different level of quarterback. So.
Is that what he was sick about? He had the pink eye?
We don't know for sure, but his left eye was swollen. We saw the photos before the game.
Do you ever have eyes get swollen based on allergies and stuff?
Not really.
Yeah, never to that extent.
I just get like sneeze and cough.
Mine will get a little puffy. I get the bags under the eyes type of deal.
Yeah, the first photo I saw, it looked like he couldn't see.
Looked like he was a Seam Ramon. Remember that noggin?
Nope.
Yeah, you're a casual boxing. I forget who he was fighting.
I'm not
though,
a
Ramon.
Boxing guy.
Yeah, Ramon had the gnarliest knot above his eye that you'll ever see. He almost looked like an alien because it was gross. All right, let's get to the D'Amico media stuff. We'll listen to the sound bites here, and then we'll react on the other side probably. So, look, the media there was some crazy stuff said last week about the Houston Texans. Can we all agree on that? There was some thought of that it was potentially possible that the Houston Texans could move on from D'Amico. I think you mentioned it. Will mentioned it on Friday that if the Houston Texans want a great offensive mind, they might have to look to fire D'Amico. Caserio was certainly in the crosshairs last week. Kaylee's been in the crosshairs all year long. C.J. Stroud's contract has come up. It was DJ Bienemy who tweeted and deleted the tweet that no one came to D'Amico's defense when Steven Nelson called him candy. He tweeted that and deleted it. What else happened last week with all the hot takes?
DJ said that some of the players are annoyed with him.
Oh yeah, he also was meddling, and he thinks that he knows better than everybody else, which he is the head coach. Don't you want that from a head coach? I understand that. Hey, you want to be open minded and all that stuff. Blah 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 blah. But here was D'Amico Ryans going at the media. This was yesterday.
Doesn't matter about outside noise, and we hear a lot of that every time you lose. Everybody wants to come up with something of get rid of everybody, fire everybody, you lose a game, you go out, don't play well. Well, it's just the noise is just a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about, because here in this room as a team, we stick together as a team, and we know it's only about us, right? And you never let that outside noise creep in and control who we are. We know who we are. We know what we're about. We know the formula. We know what it takes to go win games. And we just understand that the outside noise is just noise. We would never go ask anybody who's given the noise. We would never go ask them their opinion about how to game plan or how to play football. So we keep that in-house, and we press forward, and we go out and play good football. That's what it's about.
All right. So what do you think about that, Joe?
I don't really get why he's so concerned with the outside noise, because it seems like he's very concerned about it by acknowledging it there.
He did it. He was asked directly about the outside noise,
but he acknowledges it too as well in his postgame locker room speech, talking about staying together and all these different things. You're not gonna ask the media how to game plan for a football game, that's fine, but it just feels like to me he doesn't want to be questioned, was what I hear when I hear that, why things are going wrong.
Here's another one from D'Amico. Doubled down earlier today.
No, it really doesn't matter. I mean, here you can see it's a lot of negative talk about us. We get it. I hear people try to give it to me all the time. I get it, right? It's like but it really doesn't matter, right? I talk about it. Everybody wants to write a hot story, and most of the time it's negative stuff that people want to talk about, right? Nobody wants to talk about the positive stuff that happens. And again, if you feed off of that and you're riding the pendulum of, oh, we're great because we won, oh, we suck because we lost, fight, like, that's our business. I get it. But that's the nature of it. We keep moving forward. Really, it doesn't drive anything. It means nothing, literally nothing, to what we're about. Like, it does nothing to drive our team. We just got to go out and play good football.
You don't think you've gotten any positive stuff?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, the first
two
years.
You don't think you've gotten any praise at all?
Guys, it's what's your question?
I'm just saying, everybody says negative.
I said that's what people thrive on, is the negative stuff. Yeah.
You don't think you've gotten any positive?
I said people thrive on the negative. You guys are good. You guys must be the ones with the negative stuff. We're playing football. You talk about outside noise. I say it again. It doesn't matter. Good, bad, it doesn't change how we prepare. It doesn't change our week of preparation. We're going to work. We're going to work our best, the game plan our best, and go out and play good football.
But for your first couple years and a half, like, you've gotten nothing but positive coverage for the majority of the time. So when you say everybody wants to focus on negative and not write about the positive, I don't know if that's, how is that accurate when you've been here for a couple of years, you've got a lot of positive coverage.
You guys good?
Feels a little personal, right?
I mean,
and like, I think both ways. I don't think just D'Amico. Like, I think some of the coverage, like, it feels a little personal going in both directions.
I mean, DJ went at D'Amico last week.
No, I know. That's,
and
yeah.
I mean, he's a reporter. He doesn't live in the opinion world, right? Like, It's weird. Like, this, it opens up a bigger conversation about, like, what is media currently, right? And not just in sports, but just in general. Like, is DJ a reporter, or is he in the opinion world?
But he's reporting. I mean, the clip on Paul's show, when he references the fact that players are upset that D'Amico is saying things to the media and then saying opposite things in the background, like to them privately, he sourced it.
Okay, well, what about whenever you tweet and delete that no one came to his defense about Steven Nelson?
No, that's the one where it's a good counterpoint, because, like, it's like, that was soft to delete it, first of all. I love you, DJ. But it does feel, I think it feels personal going both ways right now, where D'Amico is upset about the coverage he's getting. I think coming off a little soft, because I think Landry and DJ were right to push back there about the positive coverage they've gotten. That's all they've gotten for 2 years, and like, now things aren't going well, so people are pushing back about their hiring process, about their game planning, about CJ Stroud looking mopey on the sidelines up until this last game. Like, I think all of that's in bounds, and like, and DJ is one of, like, the three people in that room who are reporters. Everyone else in there is opinion people. Like,
yeah, which I mean, it's a bigger thing.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I was surprised when I saw that. Like, I like the pushback from D'Amico, but I'm surprised.
So I have a lot of takes on this. I don't disagree with your thoughts on D'Amico, but he does hit something that I brought up last week that I think that we overrate. 713-780-3776. What side are you on, D'Amico or Houston media? 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, I want to tell you about the greatness that is HR&P. They might need that some places that we're discussing. They might need to call human resources and payroll. It's Cougar, owned by my colleague, Go Cougs, U of H class of 1990. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years, quarter of a century. HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. They're a great ally to have on your side. They're always up to date in trends of what's going on in the business world. They're going to relay that to you. Great ally HR&P is. And they're going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. Nothing cookie cutter about HR&P. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HR&P is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to nobody. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. Always talk to someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Quick response, easy to understand. The other other day. I forgot my insurance information because I'm a donkey. Fired off a quick email. It's back in my inbox in minutes. Thank you, HRP. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net. YouTube TV customers could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to KeepMyNetworks.com to keep ESPN. Talking about the D'Amico Houston media tit for tat tiff they have going on there. 713-780-3776. Which side are you on? 713-780-ESPN. So I do agree with you, Joe, that it does come off a bit sensitive and a bit defensive. Like, there's to me, there's no way you can argue against that. It's also, look, this isn't the first time that D'Amico's done this. We've talked about this on the show, where D'Amico does have a little bit of, like, small college coach that would like to control the narrative and the, like, the messaging around his team, which I think is soft, like the words that you used. I wouldn't disagree with that. I do think part of this is pretty soft by D'Amico. Like, hey, you're criticized, but you're like, oh, we don't care. Well, clearly, you feel kind of way about it because you just talked a minute and a half on it. Like, clearly it stands out. And it's also kind of like, you know, 101 about not caring. Like, whenever you say you don't care and then you talk for over a minute about it, usually you care a little bit. It seems like it's probably in your mind, forefront of your mind. So it does come across sensitive, defensive. You want to use the word soft. I have no problem with that. And it really has been a characteristic of his in the past where, hey, this is the narrative. I don't like what y'all are doing. It was the Joe Mixon thing. Like, how dare y'all talk poorly about Mixon or put a timeline on when Joe Mixon's coming back? That's not in the best interest of the player. Well, that's not the media's job, D'Amico. Like, so you're trying to control that. There are certain parts of it that I do like, though. Like, I don't mind a head coach getting a little snappy at the media. If you're going to dish it out, then you have to be willing to accept it. Like, let's not act brand new that there was a lot of criticism directed his way, and some of it pretty out there. Some of it reachy, right? So if you're going to be pretty reachy with some of the, you know, takes that you have about the coach, don't get sensitive when the coach comes back at you. Now, is it accurate that, you know, everything about D'Amico's negative and that, you know, there haven't been, you know, great coverage of D'Amico? No, that's not accurate, but I'm not sure that's what he's saying. I don't think that's what he's saying there. He's just saying that we thrive on negativity, which, is that wrong? I don't think it's wrong.
No. No, so, it's not wrong at all.
I kind of like where he's coming, you know, coming from there. And then also the part that he said has been an underlying thought that I've had a lot. And also, press conference sound, like, is incredibly overrated. Like, do we think what they're saying at the press conference is 100% truthful and authentic? Like, no. We're not that dumb, are we? Like, they're giving you a message they want to give you. It is mostly overrated and mostly useless, that press conference stuff. Yet we react to it like it's gospel. It's embarrassing, quite frankly. But the part that he said, like, the coverage is great because we won and it's awful because we lost, that is always the case. Whenever you're winning at a high level, you can say no wrong. And when you're losing at a very bad level, you can never say any right. And that's kind of D'Amico's message there, which I completely agree with.
I do agree with that. And I also think, like, there's a larger part of this that is stuff that we've discussed in the past, to where I think his annoyance comes from, frankly, it's like, it sounds like he's upset with his friends, because I don't think he views the people in front of him as what they should be.
I'm going to be honest. Reach.
Like, I don't think so.
You think he looks at Landry Locker's his friend?
Not all of them.
You think he looks at...
I think there are people who are way too buddy-buddy within that organization, yes, as media members, and that's what, like, that's why there's not harsh criticism when there should be, even when things are going well.
Last week. Yes,
and he doesn't like it, clearly. Like, he's pushing back against things that are fair. Like, honestly, I think outside of the tweet that was deleted by DJ, like, nothing that's been said is, like, out of pocket.
His job was being called coverage. For.
The question is, like, can you get the coach you want? Was what I asked. Like, can you get the coach you want as an offensive coordinator if D'Amico's your head coach? It's questionable. Like, if your players are upset with you, which Reporting has it as that. Is that fact? We don't know.
Reporting has it at that. Yeah, DJ Stingley was on a podcast talking about, or Derek Stingley was on a podcast talking about how much he loves D'Amico. Like, when have you heard a player on a podcast say anything negative about D'Amico?
No, you're right. Except for the ones that aren't here anymore.
And look, like, what you say publicly might not be how you're feeling privately, mm-hmm. right? Like, I understand that exists, just like reports could be wrong. Like, that possibility exists. We see reports all the time that are wrong that become gospel after they're reported, even though they're wrong. Mm-hmm. The Sark thing. Like, Russini tweeted out, hey, Sark's, you know, he's interested in going to the NFL, which maybe that's true, maybe it's not. Sark is saying it's not true. Who should we believe? I don't know. But, like, if we act under the premise that it's not true, like, and who knows what's right here, but if we act under the premise that it's not true, we're never going to forget that report, and we're acting like it is true, even though it very well could not have been. The Joe Mixon thing. Aaron Wilson, Joe Mixon could be ready by opening day, should be ready by opening day. That wasn't true. We believed that. He also reported that D'Amico Ryans was not interested in the Texans job. So, like, reports can be inaccurate. For There's sure. always a percentage chance that a report is inaccurate. What percentage, I think, depends on the reporter. Some reporters are very good and very, like, you know, they have a high hit rate. Some reporters have a very high miss rate. So, like, I think you have to sliding scale which reporter you're talking about at the time. I've seen players over and over, especially, you know, the Houston Texans, coached by D'Amico Ryans, that say really, really good things about him. So, what are you believing?
Well, and then the players who don't say things nicely about him are the players that are no longer here. So they're right. So it's always
how many players have done that though?
Two,
Steven Nelson and
Desmond King.
Okay.
So like that's two guys that have left. So like that's a small guys who've lost their jobs, right? So like they're bitter in general. So you take it with a grain of salt. But that's why I just think I don't mind the pushback. I'm surprised by it, honestly, more than anything. Like, it feels even it's necessary to address it. Because to
me,
he's
asked directly.
I know. But at the end, like, he wraps his press conference up while going back and forth with people because he doesn't want to have the conversation.
That's not how it ended. He said, are you guys done? If we don't have, basically saying, if you don't have any more questions, then I'm going to leave. Because that's what he says at the end of every press conference.
Because he didn't want to continue having the conversation. So he ended the press conference.
No, he didn't. There was more questions after that.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the end of the press conference.
No, Wex asked him a question because Wex had the presence of mind that he's not answering that. So if we're going to continue push him on that, he's out of there. So let me change the questioning. And there was about four or five more questions after
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. Okay, I did not realize that.
So and when he says, like, you guys good, that's what he says at the end of press conferences to make sure everybody has their questions in.
That's why I thought the way he said it there, it sounded like it was...
Oh, he was about to leave. Yeah. Like, if he kept getting questions about that, or if he didn't get any other question, period, he was gone.
Yeah.
He would have been gone, but he got asked other questions.
Gotcha.
The media realized what was going on. We're like, oh, okay, we better ask him more questions, or we're going to run out of time with D'Amico. But this has been one of the theories that I've always had, where it's, okay, where media is going to go after you when you're losing. They're not going to go after you when you win. And it's kind of annoying, honestly. I think that you should be consistent across the board. Great. I mean, that's why we do Don't Ignore in Victory what you win in defeat on Tuesdays. Like, there are things that happen in victory that are unacceptable. There are things that happen in defeat where it was really good. So, whenever you're not honest about it, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, when you're not honest about it across the board, whether it's victory or defeat, then I don't think you can be taken seriously.
I'm with you on that because I do think that there's way too much that's happened over the last 2 years that's gotten, you know, passes within, you know, this organization. Like, I think, like, everyone keeps referencing back to, like, this Nick Caserio and D'Amico clip from, you know, the season ticket thing about the offensive line, but there's similar quotes to the previous year about the same thing, about feeling good about the offensive line, but the Texans were winning games and they won a playoff game, so like it always got ignored. So I'm with you. Like, I think you have to be as harsh and as fair on both sides when things aren't going well. And I know that doesn't work for clicks and things like that. You can't write a puff piece after a loss because then no one's going to really like you or want to read your stuff anyways.
But why does that matter? That shouldn't matter. It shouldn't be about likability.
I mean, if you want people to read your stuff, you have to be kind of likable, right?
No, I don't think so.
I think you guys are like, be really liked or really disliked.
Does Chandler Rome liked?
Really liked or really disliked? Like,
I think it goes both ways.
Yeah. Like, I just to me, like, I'm with you. Like, I agree that you have to be more balanced, and that's what he's saying. But I'm still surprised that it matters to him as much as it does. And I know he's answering a question about it, but it's a long answer. Like, if it was a nothing burger to him, then he would have give a five-second answer.
No, I do think he's a bit sensitive and defensive about it. But I also don't think it's out of bounds.
Not at all.
To go at media members that are critiquing you. And no. He didn't do it like in a terrible way. He's not sitting there cussing at him. He's not yelling at him. He's giving his truthful opinion about how he feels about it. Like, I don't think that that's bad.
No, and I don't think it's not the extreme of like what Brian Kelly did this year, right? Where, you know, after a win, he was like, no one wanted to talk about the defense and the good things in that game. Like, that was an extreme from Brian Kelly. Like, it wasn't to that level either, which is a good thing, because that was obviously a bad look for Brian Kelly when it happened.
Yeah. Let's hear from C.J. Stroud, because I think there's a bigger message here, actually. 713-780-3776. Team D'Amico or Team Houston Media? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All right, we just got back from LaBerge and Lake Charles from the ESPN Bet Sportsbook there, and we got to see all the new improvements that they've made up close and personal. The VIP fan cave sections are awesome. All you have to do is go to the website, click on ESPN Bet. There's a QR code there. It's going to put you in contact with Pedro, who's going to help you get set up. You can rent it out. You got four TVs right in there that you can choose how to be set up however you want. We saw Tech fans on Saturday. They had it just on the Texas Tech game. Same thing with A&M later on. Or you can go there on NFL Sunday and you can just choose the four games that you want to watch the most. Plus, they even have great things like NBA Jam, Blitz, all in the fan cave sections that you can reserve as well. So that's available to you right now. Plus, they got new menu items on the menu right now inside the sports book, and even more on the way because of their brand new chef. We'll be back out there in 2 weeks, and it's the sports book for me. It should be the sports book for you because you can bet on all of your Houston area teams at ESPN Bet inside LaBerge in Lake Charles. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. 713-780-ESPN. Still the king on YouTube. Miko called Billy Butchin for advice on how to shut the Houston media down. He should try doing a presser in Philly if he wants victimhood. It would be funny, him going to Philly and getting he'd get roasted there. Still the king, though, says, I'd be ticked. A bunch of fired sports radio turned Texan bloggers are asking questions. Seems odd. Rocky says, that's my point. He's got a victim attitude. That's my thing, and I think it makes them look weak. He definitely comes across defensive and sensitive about it.
For sure.
Like, I'm not pushing back at that, but I do like him going at the media. It's fun to me. It's entertaining to me. He's not a pinata. Like, if you're going to go at him, why can't he go at you? Like, you can't be sensitive in return, right? Like, if you're going to call him out and then he's going to come back at you, you can't be like, oh, no, woe is me. You can't have that attitude about it either.
I actually think it's if people in the media get super sensitive about this, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, it's got to be worse.
Like, it looks way worse than D'Amico.
Oh, on D'Amico. If people get sensitive in the media, it looks worse on D'Amico?
No, it looks worse than how D'Amico looks.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that, to be fair.
Not yet.
Maybe we'll see something. I don't know. We'll see how it happens. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Bob, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Let's make this quick. So, D'Amico is irritating the media. So what does the media do? They ask irritating questions back to him, but he's made it real simple. He says, look, say negative things, doesn't matter. Say positive things, it doesn't matter. I coach to win games, so write what you want to write. So I think if the media gets to understand who D'Amico is as a person, they can actually start asking more thought-provoking questions to get the answers that they want instead of just being irritating to him. Because he's not going to give you anything when you irritate him. He's going to irritate you back. So there you go. Run with it. Let's see what you say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think like he's irritated with the media in terms of like the questions he's asking. I think it's just more he doesn't like the fact that people are questioning everyone's job and the quality that they're doing is what I think he's annoyed with.
Yeah. No, I think there is some truth to that. I do think that he's calling out the hypocrisy of when you win, it's great. When you do bad, it's bad. I do think he's calling that out, and I love that part of it because that's I've had that take for 10 years. So thank you, D'Amico, for saying that. And look, I'm around press conferences, and then I talk to coaches privately. Like, if you guys believe everything that is said at a press conference, you guys are foolish. Mm-hmm. You're putting your head in the sand. That's the message that they want to get out. It's not necessarily what the truth is or what is actually happening. So people overrate it. People overrate the quotes at a press conference so much. They overrate it so much. It's mostly useless, quite frankly. And then you say one thing wrong and it's magnified. So, like, why would a player and an athlete trust the media?
Well, and I think that's what this ultimately goes back to is exactly what you just said. It all goes back to pressing JSN. Like, that's where this all starts, right? Of, like, that, you know, the players.
I don't know where D'Amico got irritated. Like, I think that that's fair to have that thought.
Yeah, because that to me is where, like, we were hearing different messaging from players in the locker room.
But that's a reach, though, Joe. Like, that's a reach.
Why?
Absolutely, it's a reach. Because D'Amico said the plan was to put hands on him. That can mean a ton of different things. It could also mean that Seattle was scheming him out of that. It could also mean that they saw something one play in from JSN where they changed their game plan. What did Mike Tyson say? When somebody punches you in the face, everybody has a game plan until somebody punches you in the face. Although Mike Tyson's never on record of saying that. We just attribute it to him. Like, anything could get you out of that. Anything could get you out of that. So you have D'Amico saying our plans were to get hands on him. It could just mean that they want to tackle him. It could just mean that they want to prevent yards after catch. It doesn't mean that you're pressing him. It could mean a variety of different things. So the media takes that and creates the spin that they think it means. Doesn't guarantee that they know it. They think they know it. They think that's what's being said. They don't know that for sure. And then they pair that up and put it next to what Stingley said about he's just doing what he's coached and they weren't pressing. And they're like, well, D'Amico's telling us that we were supposed to press and Stingley's saying that we're not. Well, maybe they gave up on the game plan. Maybe D'Amico's not saying what you think he's saying on what was a very vague term.
But then ask the follow-up question and explain it.
But how do you put that on D'Amico?
I'm not. I'm just saying, okay. But like where this all started is because of that question, because of the way D'Amico answered it and the way it was interpreted. That to me is probably why he's annoyed. Because like that's been the biggest critique of D'Amico over the last week is why are you saying this? And everybody is interpreting it in one way and no one's correcting it.
Now, but it's not their prerogative to correct it.
You're right. But then that's what people are going to write and they're going to say. And then that's why he's, to me, seems annoyed today. And
but he doesn't. I mean, I don't really. It feels very reachy to me. Like, I don't think D'Amico cares what the media is. He's sensitive and defensive about it. That's very clear. At the same time, I don't think he really cares what's being written and said. He might personally, but it's not going to impact his coaching. It's not going to impact his game plan. It's not going to impact his week at all, I don't think. Maybe he's a little sensitive to the words, and he's calling out the hypocrisy of it, which I think exists. But there's a lot of leaps made, man. Like, a lot of leaps made about, like, oh, what we think we know, and, like, we're going to report it as truth, and then, oh, it's really not truth. And, like, it's a vicious cycle, I think.
No, I agree. And that's where, like, I think it goes back to the people there of, okay, you're interpreting something this way. You hear Stingley talk, and then it has its life of its own. And instead of being able to be a reporter and get clarification on what's going on, the story just runs. Like, that to me is where things have changed the most. Is like, there should be some of, this is happening, this is said here, this is said here. What's the truth in the middle of it? And that is what's not being found out. And that's what's leading to annoyances, I think, I guess on both sides right now, because people there definitely seemed annoyed today from the media perspective.
Yeah, I think they were annoyed because they felt what D'Amico said was unfair. And I don't disagree with that. I mean, everything that's been written about D'Amico, if you just went 3 years, this is D'Amico's third year, mm-hmm. If you just went on the narrative and the stories and the commentary about D'Amico, I think it's been positive. If you overall, it has been positive. Does that mean everything written and said and narrative and analysis has been positive? No. But has most of it been? Yes. Is it more positive than negative? Yes. And I think that's where the media was like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
It's been more positive than negative. How could you say that?
Even though that's what D'Amico's saying is like when you're winning, it's all people say is positive.
And he's right.
He's right. Like what their pushback was kind of, honestly, kind of confirming everything that he was talking about.
Yeah, and I I told that to Will last week. Like, and I've had this forever. Like, we bash people when they're losing, no matter what they say, and we're gonna nitpick. We're gonna nitpick.
Well, especially in this market.
I think in every market.
Well, I think there's a lot more criticism when things are going well in other markets than here, personally.
Probably. I don't think that's unfair. You're going to see a lot of friendly reporting journalism when you're winning. So, like, that's where my objection is. Like, I don't like that. Mm. I can't trust that. If you don't come out with any negative until things are going bad, yet it was negative prior to that, you lose credibility with me. Like, you need to be able – and I think that's why Chandler Rome's good at his job. Like, Chandler Rome, when things are winning, when they're doing well, he's going to be very honest with his reporting, right? And that's going to rub people the wrong way. Who cares? His job is not to be liked. It's to report on the team. Mm-hmm. So when you see reporters that all of a sudden it comes out like the dam broke with all this negative information and negative reporting, where was that in the first 2 years and 5 weeks?
Goes back to – I've been saying that since Bill O'Brien got fired, Jeremy. Like, no one had anything bad to say. Like, we all knew it, but then as soon as Bill O'Brien got fired, everyone and their mother had a story.
That's what irritates me. Maybe it's Houston media. I don't know. Like, I don't follow the other media markets all that well. Like, you see stuff pop off in New York and Philly and the major markets, but I don't know what it's like in San Diego. You know what I mean? I don't know what it's like in Miami, per se. But that's where – like, that's just my opinion. Like, if you're being very different based on a team losing – versus when they're winning, I can't take you seriously.
Yep.
I don't know what you are. I don't know who you are. I think you're riding the wave. I don't want journalists that ride the wave. I want them that are always calling it like it is. I want them always telling it like it is, calling it down the middle, telling me what they see. And that's something that I try to pride myself on. And I get criticized for that. Like, teams are winning and I'm being critical of them. We were criticized 2 weeks ago. They beat the Ravens and like, oh, you guys are being so negative. No, I'm just calling it like I see it. And I think that that builds credibility. If you're calling it like you see it, good times, bad time, but you're always right down the middle, I think that's whenever you gain respect from most people.
Do you think this is the end, or do you think this is going to continue a little bit?
No, I guess it depends on the team performance. I think if they like lose, I think it's bad news for D'Amico.
Yeah, because that's the only thing. Like this is, I do like this is. I feel like a red flag in a way. Like I feel like a lot of times before there's the full media and fan base turn on a coach, these are the things we typically hear in press conferences. Again, I'll reference Brian Kelly earlier this year. I don't think that's where we're headed with D'Amico, but I do feel like this is one of those, like, this, I don't like, this is a, it's a warning sign, it feels like, of when things go badly, you look back at a moment like this, and you say, this is where D'Amico started to lose people. I don't think that's where we're headed, but it's something I want to keep an eye on.
I don't think you're wrong, but also, who cares if you lose the media? Like, you're going to get bad reports? Like, you're going to get bad stories on you?
The thing is, man, and, like,
I guess that gains momentum within ownership. I don't know.
I think it matters. I do think it matters because they got rabbit ears like crazy. We don't hear them talk, but they listen.
If they know it. If your bosses care about it, then it can matter.
And that's why, and I think that those bosses, I think they do.
Yeah.
Like, look how hidden they were for 3 years, the McNair family. They hid from everything.
Okay.
And then they hired a PR firm, and
then now they're winning, and like they're out everywhere. They're doing radio shows. They're flipping burgers. They're making big time statements and going at the Titans, and like it's all fun and games because like things are going well. But then, where have they been this season? Like, we haven't really heard from Cal and Hannah this year. But like when things are good, like there's a microphone always in front of the face. That's why I like Jerry Jones, like in a way, because he's always there.
He's so consistent. Like, it goes back to being consistent.
Yeah, like I do think the media, what we say in this market, does affect that family. So they read all of it.
Here I have another thought on this. I think there's a bigger picture view here, and I think CJ Stroud clued us in on it. We'll tell you what it is on the other side. It's Jeremy and Joe, 713-780-3776 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
Lamont says Houston is too much of a soft media market for there to be beef with the media. I agree mostly, but it feels like there's a little beef there. Lamont, I like D'Amico, but it's hard to be on his side in Houston. Houston media are so friendly and milquetoast. It's not like you're in New York, Philly, or Dallas where the media really go in. Houston media is all friendly and nice. I don't know if that's across the board 100%. I think, generally speaking, you're right, Lamont. I think there are exceptions to that, though.
I think for the most part, I think he's right.
Yeah, I think you get some people who will press you, though. I mean, DJ will press you.
Yeah.
And I tip my cap to that. Landry will. I'll tip my cap to that.
Yeah, there's like, I think it's probably.
Will.
Probably 50-50.
Yeah, that might be high. But there are exceptions to that. I think Chandler will press you. Anybody with the Rockets do that? Probably not, huh?
I don't even know.
Rockets kind of soft.
To be honest with you.
Rocket Media has been kind of soft. But they've been playing well. And I like Ime a lot. And yeah. Ime's been pressed with some stuff. He's very honest, too. I like that about Ime. D'Amico was being honest. And he gets ragged on. He gets criticized. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. So here's where I think the bigger message is. I actually think that D'Amico Ryans used this as a rallying call. I think it was, and he's going to sit there into the media and tell you, well, we don't care. Okay, what you're saying to the media isn't always what you're saying behind closed doors to your team. In fact, it usually rarely is. So I think they used it as a rallying call. Houston Texans versus the world. They want to fire our GM. They want to fire our OC. They don't want to pay our quarterback. There's even been some murmurs about me getting fired. We're terrible. Our offense is brutal. We don't care about the outside noise. We have to stick together. I think that was a rallying call, even if D'Amico won't say it. C.J. Stroud, the Houston Texans post, you know, their post-game speech, the locker room, got a game ball. C.J. Stroud gave a little victory speech after the game ball, and I think he tipped it right here.
Man, who cares what people say, bro? It never matters. We on the field, bro. It don't matter what nobody say, man. Keep the confidence, keep the faith. It's easy to have faith when it's easy. It's easy to have faith when it's easy. Now, y'all boys have faith when it was hard, man. And we went out there, we beat a good team, man. So let's keep on doing this. Keep stacking. Keep rolling. Love y'all, boys.
There you go.
Bulletin board material.
I think they were using it as a rallying call.
100%.
Like, everybody's against us, even our local media. Let's go play good football. I think that's I really think this is what it's about. I really do. And D'Amico is going to be like, hey, we don't care about what the media says, which he's lying. It's not the first time a head coach lies to the media at a press conference. It won't be the last time. C.J. Stroud absolutely gave it away.
Yes. Yes, they absolutely. There's clips. Probably, I'm guessing there's some video. PR team probably, you know, listening to the stations and grabbing stuff. They're pulling articles. All that stuff was definitely happening last week.
Yeah, it's a rallying call.
Yeah, and because we all know that they listen and that they care because it annoys them because the media never ever gets brought up when things are good because things are being said nicely about them, so they ignore all of it. So yeah, this is a rallying cry. Maybe it works. So if the Texans win?
I hope this isn't why they played well.
So if the Texans make the playoffs this year, they have to thank us? Is this like the tombstone?
No.
Oh.
No. It's not like it's not the tombstone.
It's not?
No. Space City Kev, I don't like about it is it seems like Locker just wanted to poke the bear. When D'Amico was talking about the negativity, he was addressing his team. He was using it to build up his team after a really good win. You're not a war reporter, bro. You report on sports. It's not your job to keep everyone accountable. Just give the fans information. I don't want drama. I just want to know how the football works good.
Well, he's not going to tell you how it works good.
I disagree.
Well, he doesn't tell us anything.
Well, people ask prying questions like, is this guy going to play? Like, they're not going to give away the company secrets. That's just their organizational philosophy. How do you not know that already?
No, like, I do know that.
They're going to give you informative answers if you phrase the question in a good way.
You think so?
Yeah. Like, it depends on what you're trying to get. Like, one, what are you trying to get? Two, are you seeking just an informative answer? The most informative answers you usually get is why they don't really get asked because you're not reporting on the other team. Go ask a coach what he thinks about the opponent's star and see how much they talk about that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it depends on what you're looking for, you know? Like, there's always motive to a question, right? Sometimes. Not always. I shouldn't say that. But there should be motive to every question that is asked.
Yeah, I think I don't mind the pushback from Landry and DJ there.
I don't either.
Like, if you're going to say it, you're going to get the pushback is good both ways. Like, there's nothing wrong with that happened. Like, it is, I think it is a little soft, but it's not the softest thing I've ever heard coming from a coach or anything like that. And I like that they push back. So I don't know if this is a rallying cry, which I agree with you, like with what CJ said, what D'Amico has said after the game at the press conference. I don't think that it can really be a thing that happens every week, but for 1 week it can work out well for you. And it seems like it did.
What great drama. Little Sunday to Monday. Media gets so sensitive about it too. Oh my goodness, the coach called me out. Well, did you say anything negative about the coach? If the answer is yes, you shouldn't be sensitive about the coach calling you out.
No. You can't be sensitive.
Which makes me sick. Oh my goodness, a head coach said something negative about the media. What are we ever gonna do? Did you say something negative about him? Well, do you think you're being a hypocrite?
Yeah.
You're being a hypocrite, though.
Yeah, I think, well, that's because I think people who are in those rooms typically feel like they're off limits in a way, and they shouldn't be.
Right. They do. They feel like they can cast stones and not get any casted back.
Yeah. And that's why, like, it always used to be, and things at the times have changed so much, and even in my short career of 10 years, but, like, that's why I used to always be like, if you are going to say something critical, like, you have to go to the clubhouse, you have to go to the locker room, you have to be there. Now those opportunities are so limited. But it used to always be the way, because people always used to push back. Yeah. Like, it's not new. So, no, the media you have to be fine with pushback from them. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. If they're going to push back against the things you say publicly, then, like, that's fine. That's their prerogative. They're people, too. They're allowed to have hurt feelings.
Yeah. I like it when coaches or players go after media when they ask dumb questions. I'm a fan of it. Like Manny Machado, like, my assessment, we just lost. I'm a fan of it. It's great. It's great theater. Will Kunkel had a 2.5-hour show bashing the Texans last Friday. What did he say this week? Was he positive now? I saw him tipping his cap.
He does seem offended, though.
He was tipping his cap about their performance, but I do think he's offended that D'Amico called out the media. Yeah. I do think he got a little defensive about that.
Swarmcast this week.
Yeah. He'll be on Friday, too.
That's right.
It'll be on Friday as well. This texter says, you guys are really killing this. Great content. You could do the rest of the show on it. Yeah, but we're not. We're going to move on. Appreciate the compliments, 5366. But we're gonna talk about the NFL. What was kind of a lackadaisical Sunday, I think. Who had the best win in the NFL yesterday? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.